Live from National Harbor, Maryland and CPAC 2019, this is the Steve Gruber Show, and here are three big things you need to know. Three, can you imagine handing out pieces of raw cotton to black people touring the state capitol and then talking about how much better things are now that slavery doesn't exist? Well, now you don't have to imagine, because the First Lady of Virginia did exactly that. After pictures of her husband in blackface surfaced, this was her response. No need to imagine. Like I said, it really happened. Number two, fresh off being disbarred and sentenced to prison for lying to Congress, Democrats invite former attorney for Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, to Capitol Hill as a star witness, believe it or not, in trying to find anything to destroy the president, but he quickly admitted he really doesn't have a smoking gun.
Questions have been raised about whether I know of direct evidence that Mr. Trump or his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not.
And number one, President Trump packs his bags and says goodbye to Hanoi, Vietnam, after reaching an impasse with Kim Jong-un. It seems the North Koreans want all the sanctions lifted before they get serious about denuclearization. The president says, sometimes you just have to walk away. You can't take a bad deal. That was the point. And so the president said, we're done here. The point being is that Kim Jong-un is desperate to get those sanctions lifted. But the president said that's not going to happen until we make progress on taking nuclear weapons off the Korean Peninsula altogether. That's a key part of this entire conversation. So the president abruptly walks away from any negotiations with the North Koreans. It was 8 months ago, of course, that he met in Singapore and said we needed to make some progress. And there have been some steps. All is not lost, because as long as both sides are at least having conversations back and forth, I think that is a positive step to take. Now, Trump, speaking in Hanoi, told reporters that he had asked Kim to do more regarding his intentions to denuclearize, and he was apparently unprepared to do that, was Kim. The chairman of the North Korean dictatorship, the North Korean, said, I can't do that. Well, if you can't do that, we have no reason to be here. So you have to know when to walk away, and I applaud the president for doing that. Don't get a bad deal, because listen to me. Over the past, since he's been talking to Kim Jong-un, the Democrats have been chattering and talking and pointing fingers and talking about how Trump was going to get lured into a bad deal and his ego was going to lead him down a bad trail, and he was too arrogant and he was so desperate for a deal to take, you know, attention away from Michael Cohen and all this other nonsense that, you know, they said he would make a bad deal. Now, do we have that sound from the president? All right, well, let's go to that. We're going to go to the president right now. We have some comments talking to reporters moments after he decided to walk out in Hanoi. Go.
Don't forget, we're partners with a lot of countries on this, if you think about it, with the sanctions. We have a whole big partnership with the United Nations and many countries, including Russia, China, and others. And then, of course, South Korea is very important to this whole thing, and Japan. I don't want to do something that is going to violate the trust that we've built up. We have a very strong partnership.
So can you just give us a little more detail? Did you get into the question of actually dismantling the Yongbyon complex?
Yes, absolutely.
And does he seem willing ultimately to take all of that out?
Sure, totally.
He does. He just wants all the sanctions off first.
He would do that, but he wants the sanctions for that. And as you know, there's plenty left after that. And I just felt it wasn't good. Mike and I spent a long time negotiating and talking about it to ourselves. And just I felt that particular, as you know, that facility, while very big, it wasn't enough to do what we were doing.
So he was all right,
hold that sound right there. So this is the president speaking just moments after deciding to walk away from the summit in Vietnam, which is too bad. The people in Hanoi treating both the president and Kim Jong-un as rock stars for being there. Now, what happens next? It's not clear at this point. But the president walking out, and that sets a good tone as far as I'm concerned. We're not going to take a bad deal. The nonsense from the left about he's going to take a bad deal and stroke his ego. No, he's not. He's looking for the best deal, not only for the United States, but for the United Nations, for the other countries that would be deeply impacted, like Japan, for example, in the region, our close ally, could be deeply impacted if there was a bad deal made with North Korea, so he decided to step away from that. And I guess we'll find out more as he returns to the United States. The president's supposed to be joining us here in National Harbor, Maryland. Again, if you're just joining us, we're live from CPAC, the annual gathering of conservatives here. And we're in National Harbor, Maryland at the Gaylord National Resort. It's just across the river from D.C. The president was scheduled to be here Saturday. I expect that to happen as well. The vice president is supposed to be here tomorrow. Mike Pence will be here, and the president coming in on Saturday. And I'm sure there will be plenty of questions for the president as to what happened in Hanoi, and there'll be a lot of back and forth. Now, let's pick up some of that sound again and continue with the conversation as the president explaining why he couldn't make a deal, and there was no point in continuing the conversation at that point. Go.
Doing.
So he was willing to do Yongbyon, but you wanted more than that, I assume.
We had to have more than that, yeah. We had to have more than
and
that.
So you
because there
more?
Are other things that you haven't talked about, that you haven't written about, that we found, and we have to have. That was done a long time ago, but the people didn't know about.
Including and the uranium, the second uranium enrichment plant.
Exactly. And we brought many, many points up that I think they were surprised that we knew. But we had to do more than just the one level, because if we did the one level and we gave up all of that leverage, it's been taking a long time to build.
He was not willing to take out that second.
I want to take off the sanctions so badly because I want that country to grow. That country has got such potential, but they have to give up more. We could have done that deal. Mike, you want to speak to that?
What a great point that is. No, that's a great point that he makes here. I have a deep desire for North Korea to be successful because of its immense potential. You see, that's not a guy who's talking about his ego. That's a guy that says, listen, we can make North Korea thrive like South Korea. We can make North Korea thrive like Vietnam. And you know, Chairman Kim, getting on that train, that long train ride back to North Korea now, to Pyongyang, is going to have a chance to consider what he's leaving behind. Looking at the thriving streets of Hanoi, packed with people. Capitalism doing great in the streets of Hanoi. You look south across your border, across the DMZ, to what's happening in South Korea. And you cannot help but wonder what your country would look like if you just stepped away from this nuclear arsenal that you have no real need for. I mean, what is this going to prove to the world that you have a nuclear weapon, and so what? While your people starve and your country has a $15 billion annual economy, and just south of the border they have a $3 trillion annual economy in South Korea. The potential, the incredible potential for North Korea, untapped potential, is incredible. And Donald Trump's right about that. It would help the people tremendously. It would help the people tremendously if they could move forward. Now, we don't know where it's going to go from here. We expect to find out more when the president comes back and lands, of course, in D.C. It'll be it's a long flight back. And then, of course, as we head toward the weekend, he'll be here at CPAC, and he will discuss the next step. And I'm hopeful as well that they will continue their conversation, their dialogue. There was some hope that there would be offices opened up in either country, at least with a liaison. A North Korean liaison here in D.C. and an American office of some sort, maybe not a full embassy, but some sort of an office in North Korea where we could have ongoing dialogue. That would be key to ongoing success in these talks, no question. And again, we'll have to wait to find out what the president decides and what the strategy is. Of course, he'll be sitting with Mike Pompeo and others and his advisors figuring out where they go from here. But again, I tip my hat to the president for saying this is a bad deal. We're not going to do this. And it really flies in the face of all things you were told by those on the left. Oh, he'll make a bad deal. He'll do whatever it takes. He's desperate for a deal. No, apparently he's not. And by the way, standing there on the podium talking about the potential of North Korea and saying that it would be a bad deal for Japan and our other allies, the president looked, dare I say, presidential. This part of the program brought to you by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Michigan. For more than five decades, ABC of Michigan members have built communities across our state by championing the all-American principles of hard work and open competition. To learn out more about ABC of Michigan, visit abcmi.com, abcmi.com. Live from CPAC 2019, it's the Steve Gruber Show.
So, you have unfiled tax returns, maybe several, and maybe, just maybe, the IRS will never catch you. In the meantime, you don't dare buy a home or put money in the bank. That's no way to live. There is hope. I can help you file those tax returns and negotiate a reasonable settlement with the IRS. I'm Chris McGlatcher of Fresh Start Tax Solutions. Call my team of experts at 269-969-9752 or go to stevegruber.com to find us.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is on the job every day fighting to deliver powerful business advocacy and political action vital to the success of Michigan businesses. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is working to make Michigan the best state in the country to live, work, raise a family, or build a business by strengthening communities and improving our quality of life. We work to improve workforce readiness and build the entrepreneurial spirit that has powered and defined Michigan for decades. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, on the job every day fighting for Michigan's future. MIchamber.com.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.